WWIB, and over the last couple of weeks leading up to the election tomorrow, Hillary, you've been away, but we've talked to the city council candidates, and we've talked to 9 out of the 10 of the at-large candidates. There's 2 incumbents. Kate Beaton is one, and the other is Catherine Emmanuel, and Catherine is good enough to join us on the line early on this Monday morning. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us, Catherine. I'm excited that I actually get to take part in at least one of these interviews.
Exactly. We're going to ask you a little bit more about your candidacy and some different things in a moment, but we've been starting with all the candidates, and you can find the podcast of those at WIB.com and the WIB Wake Up Show podcasts. But kind of a, we call it a rapid fire get to know you. And so, Hillary, you're going to get, we put 60 seconds on the clock, and Hillary's just going to ask you some fun kind of get to know you questions. So we'll kind of start it off that way. Okay, Catherine?
I got my cup of coffee right in my hand. I am ready.
Ready to
okay,
go.
Okay, perfect.
All right, I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock and go ahead.
Okay, Catherine, texting or talking?
Texting.
Texting. Favorite day of the week?
Friday.
What's your favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Oh, gosh. Santa Fe, New Mexico, for sure. Favorite, like, honeymoon plus vacation with my husband.
Perfect. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
All the languages.
Okay. Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you?
I'm going to give it, like, a 9.2.
All right. Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. Early 1900s.
Favorite junk food?
Oh, tostadas.
Favorite childhood TV show?
Full House was a fun one.
Nice. Well done, Catherine.
Those were some good, you know, those were some good ones. Maybe some we haven't heard. So thank you, Hillary. Appreciate that. So, Catherine, give people a little bit of background. I was at the forum at the Tech about a week and a half ago, and so I guess one of the things that stuck out to me, you've got probably the most experience. You're one of the 2 incumbents, but you've served on the council the longest of the 10 candidates. Tell us a little bit more about yourself personally and then your involvement on the council.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've served on the council for about 6.5 years, and out of the 10 incumbent or the 10 folks who are running for council, there is one person who does have more experience, and that's former council member David Klinkhammer. He and I worked together
sure.
for many years, and he's been a great community leader, and I wish him well. On when,
I think you got about 7 years. He's got 11, but he's trying to return to the council after getting ousted last spring.
Yeah. Yep. So I currently, I've served on the council since 2012. And I've been able to lead through board service on the Redevelopment Authority. I serve on Downtown Eau Claire, Inc. this past year. I served on the city's Economic Policy Advisory Committee, which I was the chair of when we had that committee. I currently serve on the Visit Eau Claire Board of Directors, and I chair the Destination Development Committee for Visit Eau Claire that's really looking at how do we make our community a place for locals to thrive and then to attract and bring in more visitors. And then outside of council, I serve on the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Policy Advisory Board, comprised of local government electeds and city officials from all different types of backgrounds. And then before serving on council, I served on the Clear Vision Board of Directors. I also served, when I was a single parent, I served on the Western Dairyland Parent Policy Committee. And I also served back in the day on the Luther Middleford Family Centered Care Advisory Council, back when they were building a new unit for moms and families having babies.
So part of it seems like leading up to this election tomorrow and the early voting behind us in the past 2 weeks, Catherine Emmanuel, is the idea of kind of, even though it's a nonpartisan seat, it seems that there's been a lot of talk of left and right and those kinds of things, and certainly of a number of the candidates who would describe themselves as more conservative put you on the left side of things. Do you embrace that, or do you disagree with that, or what?
Oh, I definitely would embrace that. I think that everybody in the community has, hopefully will have, you know, a chance to examine their values and their perspectives, and I have friends on the left and the right and the middle and left of me and right of me, and I think that's a good thing in the community. I think I have a very good track record of working with people with different persuasions, and the reality is that sidewalks aren't partisan issues, and working with local government, I actually do reject any claims of partisanship, because there's never, at least for me in my 6.5 years, I've never had one conversation with anybody of, let's do this because, you know, this is our personal political persuasion. I've worked with all people on the council. If there's a good idea, you just figure out and you work it out together. And reality is, outside of a campaign season, most of the time people agree on something, you know, like 99% of the time on the council. And then you have a few things that you may have differences of agreement on. So, for instance, the council took up a resolution asking for lawmakers to look at tighter gun laws. And, of course, that's a hot potato button. And I didn't bring it forward. However, some colleagues did bring it forward. And it really was an opportunity for our body to work together. And we had a council member who was definitely to the right of me say, there's no way I'm voting for this. You got to be crazy, not doing it. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Although if he was sitting with me, he'd probably say, yeah, you are crazy, and that's fine. We like to razz each other. And I actually said, well, do you have something that'll make this better? And we took input from everybody, and we actually compromised, and we put forth something that everybody agreed to. And I got comments from people around the state and the country saying, if every governing body could figure out how you work together and accept amendments from one another to improve something, our whole country would be better. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good thing that people have their persuasions, and I think it's even better when you can actually work together. And I have that experience.
Very briefly, and we'll wrap it up, but Catherine Emanuel, why is it important that people should return you to the Eau Claire City Council in tomorrow's election?
Yeah, so I think we've got some really key issues that we're working on, and with my experience, I think I can help bridge the next generation of leadership. I'm not going to be around forever in elected service, and so I think that I can help, you know, show and walk with people on their new leadership journey, and then have a commitment to helping our community thrive, whether it's affordable housing or looking at Menominee Street redevelopment opportunities to all parts in our community. We've heard a lot of feedback that we need to be redeveloping in a broader part of our community. And I think the council's strength right now is affordable housing. And it's been really exciting to see people come out from all persuasions saying, yeah, let's try to be a part of a solution. Had a candidate and I talked on the telephone yesterday saying, you know, win or lose, if whatever happens, he wants to share his affordable housing idea because he says it's a killer idea. And we've got to have open minds to listen to all ideas. And I certainly have that experience and want to help our community thrive as we move forward.
Catherine, we wish you the best. The election tomorrow. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Catherine Emanuel, Eau Claire City Council, one of the two incumbents in the at-large candidate race. Again, 10 candidates, top five vote getters elected tomorrow. And yeah, I misspoke earlier on. David Klinkhammer, 11 years of experience, but he's not an incumbent right now trying to return to the council after he got defeated in an election last spring. You can find our conversations with all the other candidates at wib.com if you want to bone up on the candidates and their perspective, get a little bit better acquainted ahead of tomorrow's election. Again, at the Wib Wake Up Show podcast at wib.com. Welcome
Hillary's
back, Hillary.
Yay! I'm back. Totally back. We got to, like, find our groove again. Uh-huh. It's all good. We'll get there, right? We'll get there. So, yeah, I was gone for 2 weeks, and it was crazy. I went to D.C. and advocated for funding for gifted ed, and I have to tell you, like, I went there, and I met with both Senate offices from Wisconsin, and I also met with 7 out of the 8 congressional offices,
nice.
House offices, and the vote went to Senate on Friday. And I haven't heard how it went, oh. So I'm like, oh, I'm really hopeful, but I need to look up at that. But D.C. was great. What a time. I worked hard, but I also got to play a little bit. I saw where George Washington went to church.
Nice.
I saw his church, and I saw where he ate. I saw where the
you shared other things on Facebook, too, about George.
Ball yeah. Was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of things about George. I mm-hmm. ate where he ate, and it was very cool. George and I, we go way back now. We're like friends because we've dined. Kind of
Okay, on your other vacation, you went to the Lincoln Museum, I think.
Yeah. It was Lincoln. I went to Lincoln's home in Springfield.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I missed so that. Cool.
I saw his outhouse, so, you know.
That wasn't the one that you used.
I didn't eat where he ate, but I stood where he did other things. So that impressed my children.
Sure.
So.
Hey, any way to just tie in with history.
So, yeah, so we did that. We went to the Vacuum Cleaner Museum in Missouri.
That, I saw pictures. I think Dean had posted pictures of that. I was like, where is this?
It's in St. James, Missouri, and it's a pretty special place. It's a free museum, but they'll charge you for their T-shirts, of which I bought four.
I'm guessing what their T-shirts say.
No, just Vacuum Cleaner Museum. Their T-shirts are great. No, and I will tell you, this place is so cool. The gentleman that kind of runs the place, he's so very friendly, and he's so passionate about vacuums. He just is, and he's just so happy and lovely to visit with. And if you see any vacuum in that museum that you would like to see or hear run or run it yourself, he will, like, plug it in and let you vacuum.
They just have, like, a strip of carpet. It's, like, where
they
you can use
it. They have, like, carpets all over.
That's so cool.
He'll even throw little papers, you know, bits on the floor for you to vacuum up.
I have never heard of a vacuum cleaner museum.
That is great. You guys find the best museums. There's a spam museum.
Oh, yeah. Telephone museum. That's down in Galesville. The Kohler Toilet Museum. Now we've been to the vacuum museum. It was really pretty outlandishly cool. It was very fun. I rode a horse. We took a trail ride with my children, and that brought them such joy to see mom on a horse. And my horse was not a happy horse.
Oh.
Saw those pictures?
Yeah. The horse didn't like to walk. I'm just saying. It didn't like to run either. It liked to eat grass. And apparently I didn't take control of my horse.
Oh.
What do you do?
Well, they always say, like, grab life by the reins. And apparently that comes from
grabbing a horse, trying to keep it from eating grass. But it was good. It was a good time. I'm happy to be back. It was hard to get out of bed this morning for me, but not nearly as hard as it is for my children and husband this morning to get up and get moving. But, you know, I'm sure it's fine.
We're glad you're back. And we have indoor plumbing, so consider that
our
gift.
There we go.
Amen. Yeah, the horse place had an outhouse, and it was so sketchy, guys, that it was sketchy.
I've been in the third world, so yeah, I know what it's sketchy looks like.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Well, here we are at 7:47, 33 degrees in the Chippewa Valley, and it feels so good to be back with you gentlemen. Mark is currently eating the blueberry cobbler that I made.
Hillary, you're too good. I got to say, it crossed my mind that we should do some kind of balloons or posters. And it didn't happen. It didn't. I mean, she was gone 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so
like
it didn't happen. But lo and behold, you're gone, and you make a nice, it's good.
Because I was a little afraid.
It was kind of sketchy. Apologizing, it might not have sugar. Yeah. It is very good.
Is it? Okay. Well,
oh, Hillary, it's good.
Because the topping was like a mix, and it said to use like canned fruit. And I'm like, I'm not using canned fruit. I picked all these blueberries last summer. I want to use like my home-picked frozen blueberries. But then I was like, oh, canned fruit typically has sugar in it.
Got to add some coffee to go with it, but very, very good. Very good.
Good. Nice. I'll have to try some. You're my guinea pigs. I promise the guys, I said, okay, it's April Fool's. I promise if it's bad, it's not supposed to be a joke. I really do apologize.
Caleb got me on something off the air before we went on, so he was good. You kind of bailed me out.
Yeah, I know.
She got me too fast. I did. So, I'm back. I spent 2 weeks away, 1 week working in D.C. For education stuff, and the other week I was in Arkansas seeing my grandma. And you know what, guys? So my grandma means the world to me. We're very close. She's more of a mom to me than a grandma, really. Yeah. And she's elderly, and she's living in her own home, and she's living her life the way she wants to live it, and that is a beautiful thing, and nobody's going to tell my grandma anything.
Is this the grandma you met?
This is Grandma Ginger.
Yeah, this is Grandma Ginger.
I loved Grandma Ginger. My biggest regret is that I didn't have a recorder in off the air when Grandma Ginger was here to get some of those stories. She's an incredible woman.
You have no idea her story. So to give you a history, Grandma was raised in an orphanage during the Depression, was homeless at times. Once she was like 16 years old, she was homeless, married a really evil is not the word I should use, but it's the word I will use to describe her first husband, not a good person at all. Escaped that, worked as a logger. She was a lumber Jill, and worked in the woods when women didn't do that, fought for factory jobs to support herself and her kids, and took people to court because they didn't want to hire women. So talk about someone who has fought. And yet she is the kindest, most giving person. If she knows of someone in a scary or abusive situation, she takes them in and they live with her.
Juan, I remember she told us about how she would bring things to the old folks' home.
She still does that. She goes to the nursing home, and it bothers her that the people in the nursing home down there don't get, like, fresh fruits.
And that was her term, not mine, the old folks' home.
Yeah, that's what she calls it, yep. And so she still, like, once a week takes fresh fruit to these elderly people in the nursing home. And she's not doing the greatest. She has four aneurysms in her brain. She has four aneurysms that they know about. And her doctor, this was like 5 years ago, her doctor said, well, you have these aneurysms, we got your test results back, you shouldn't travel and you shouldn't fly. And she looked at him square in the eye and said, well, I'm not gonna wait around to die. Yeah. And promptly flew to Alaska. So I mean, it's fine. But you can tell, like, you can tell she's struggling. But what a blessing to spend time with her, and for my kids to spend time with her. Yeah. and just to be together. And we don't know if this was the last visit. It very, very well may have been, because she lives so far away. But wow, my heart is so full of love for my grandma. She's just a special, amazing woman. And I'm telling you, when she has fought for everything she's had, she has fought for everything she's had. And she's fought for a lot of things that we all as a society have that we take for granted. And she is an amazing woman. So
I think you'll love her.
I totally love her. She's, yeah. So thank you, Grandma, for hosting us and for putting up with us and for being such an impactful life.
What a great way to spend spring break, too, with someone who has such an incredible legacy.
Yes. And thank you to you guys for holding down the fort here. I know it was March Madness, Hope and Hoops stuff, and you guys were just like, nope, go with your family.
No, it's fine. We both, blessing. Caleb and I both leave on vacation tomorrow, and we'll be gone the rest of the month. So. but yeah, our
go
pleasure.
To Minneapolis,
yeah.
And just stay there.
April Fools.
Yeah, there it is.
Well, a certain pachyderm with a special ability to fly is the champ at the box office over the weekend. Walt Disney Pictures' live-action version of Dumbo, the weekend's top film, earning an estimated $45 million in its first week in theaters.
That
Congratulations.
Seems impressive. $45 million. I mean,
now, some of the ratings or some of the reviews, not the greatest, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Rotten Tomato is like 50%.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm curious if you actually saw it, shoot us a text at 715-396-1670, because I don't want to color anyone's opinions. But yeah, about 50-50 mix on Rotten Tomatoes as far as positive and negative.
Right. I've heard a couple of people today, I was talking like it was disappointing. I'm like, hold it.
Really?
It was number one. It was $12 million more than the movie Us last weekend. So I don't know. I don't know what they're shooting. Are they just thinking an animated, but it's a live action?
You know, I kind of feel like people's expectations nowadays are so unattainably high. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to see it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Unplanned was fifth. It was fifth this weekend. So Captain Marvel third, 5 Feet Apart fourth, and then Abby Johnson, the story of her. She'd been a recognized award-winning employee in Planned Parenthood, and then this recognition that I can't do this anymore and gets out. So the story in Unplanned finishing fifth.
Yeah, wow. And I know Unplanned is showing in La Crosse here in Chippewa Falls at Micon Cinemas and also in Rice Lake as well, listeners were mentioning on Facebook. So a great way to get out and see that. And then, of course, we're looking forward to our movie event with Breakthrough as well, too, and our fundraiser for a portable ventilator for Chippewa Falls Fire and Emergency Services. So
nice.
I was over at Micon a couple of times over the weekend. My church meets there, and then also my daughter saw a movie, and they've got it really, I mean, everything is just building towards this, because 10 days away, it was the sold-out premiere, but they've got the big stretcher there and a lot of promotion. Everybody going to a movie at Micon, you can't miss it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and whatever movie you're seeing, ask for that Breakthrough Rescue combo at concessions. It's a great deal. Again, and
wait,
love me some concessions.
Wait, I don't know about the Breakthrough Rescue combo.
Yeah,
I've been gone.
It's a large popcorn and a large pop, so that's something they normally don't have together, but they put it together specially for this, and there'll be an additional donation made to the cause for every single one that's purchased during the run of the movie. So check that out as well when you're going out to see a film. And whether you win tickets from us or not, and trust me, we have a lot more to give away, the public is invited from 4 to 7 p.m. to come out on April 11th for that Spaghetti Feed fundraiser, and we're going to have a great time, and there will be some pretty sweet door prizes there as well, too. So
can't wait. Yeah. I feel like I left and now I come back and there's all this stuff going on. I mean, I gave stuff away earlier and I told the Betty, I was like, Betty, I'm really sorry. I don't actually know kind of what you've won. I was just kind of following the bullet points. But Caleb's around if you need more details. And she's like, oh, no, I know the details.
She knows. We know.
You know more than I do. Uh-huh. So I got to get caught up.
We got to raise $18,000 for that ventilator, too.
We can do that. That's an awesome, awesome cause.
Well, Hillary was just in St. Louis as part of her journeys the last couple of weeks, and I noticed something from today.com, and the headline is, "This is the most upsetting way to slice a bagel."
I didn't know you could slice a bagel in an upsetting manner, so this is news to me.
Evidently. Havo, if you're just joining in on this off-air discussion we're bringing on the air, people are getting angry about the way St. Louisians bread slice their bagels, as in they take the bagel and slice it up like bread. Now, I've seen that before for, say, bagel dip around Christmas time and such, but I guess that's just the M.O. for
like
people in St. Louis eating. Did you notice this at all?
I was at a hotel and they had bagels and they were just sliced in a regular,
maybe that's because you're a foreigner,
bagel-y fashion.
Yeah, so they figure,
oh, I didn't notice them sliced like bread.
Does that upset you, Havo? I don't know that I would be upset by it. I'm showing you a picture now.
I know this. I heard this kind of break out last week. No, it doesn't upset me. I mean, good grief, you know. I mean,
the internet always needs to find something to get up in a lather about. Too, I think it's a little odd.
But is there really a right or wrong way to eat a bagel? I mean, really? Okay, now I got to see the picture.
I think there's ways, though, that we get used to things and we say, this is the way it should be, right?
Right.
I mean, we probably could, immediately comes to mind, but there's other things where you
feel
like...
It's like the generational thing, because it's the boomers and the millennials and the Xers and the Zs and all, and it's always like, my generation is the best generation, your generation has this significant issue with it, and so...
Okay, so this isn't quite what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know how you have a bagel and you stand it up on end and you slice it in half and you have two thick slices. I thought they were doing that, but like cutting it... like an additional couple of times. So they were like thin slices for like sandwiching.
Oh, no.
No, they're like laying the bagel. So you're looking down at a round bagel and then they're cutting it in slices.
Yeah.
What bothers me about that is then you have just these two, you know, few little round slices that aren't long enough to do anything
with. Well, yeah, so the ones around the hole in the bagel, those are for the kids. Those are the little kid slices.
Oh, I don't know. It just seems different. Like, what's the purpose? Do you make a sandwich out of them? Like mini sandwiches?
It's just such an American thing that we just hate on everything different from us, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
St. Louis, you do you. It's not my thing.
I didn't notice it when I was there, but, you know.
I would say that this would be a good method if you had anything like spinach and artichoke dip or something like that.
Sure, sure, sure.
Bagels a little bit. So maybe... maybe they just like other things with their bagels.
If you want to toast them and make bagel chips out of them, that would be ideal.
I don't know, internet. This doesn't seem worth getting your dander up over.
No.
What is the really dark bread? It's like
pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel. You get some pumpernickel. Yeah. I think that pumpernickel. You get that in some spinach dip. That.
Or those little baby rye. You know, the little tiny like really dark breads. Delicious.
We're going to talk about apps the rest of the show.
Yeah, my mother-in-law makes a Reuben dip, which is so good. It's got corned beef and sauerkraut and all kinds of goodness in it on those little rye breads. So good.
I think we should have a different appetizer every day in April because it's alliterative and I like things like that.
Oh,
there you go.
Apps. Apps in April? I could do that. I absolutely could.
Somebody hook us up.
And then we have to make the recipes because it's just more fun if you eat it.
Couple of things here as we wrap up. I'm bringing this one as a surprise. Actress Ally McGraw, 80 today. She's maybe best known for the movie Love Story with Ryan O'Neal. Most famous line from that movie, tell me, as you both are married, if you agree or disagree, this most famous line from that movie, love means never having to say you're sorry. Agree or disagree?
Completely disagree.
Completely disagree.
Completely disagree.
I know, but
completely
I'm not kidding. That is really in that movie. Okay. Also, I think Al Gore did say that his relationship to Tipper was based on that. But anyhow, also, tomorrow is Election Day. Polls open all over the state from 7 in the morning till 8 at night. 10-year race for state Supreme Court. Between two justices on the Waukesha Court of Appeals, Neubauer, who's on the left, and Hagedorn on the right. So they score off for that tomorrow. It's been quite the battle. Meanwhile, you've got the Eau Claire City Council president's race going on, Worthman and Weld for that one. Meanwhile, you've got 10 at-large seats on Eau Claire City Council. The top five vote-getters will get those spots. And numerous city council, county board, et cetera.
School boards.
Barron City Council, though, getting a lot of attention. You have a Somali candidate, Isaac Abdi Muhammad, against Paul Soley. So a lot of eyes from not just in this area, but from around the state and maybe even the nation will be on that contest. So we'll have more results for you, especially Wednesday morning as best we can here on WWIB.
All right.
Clark, Triple Falls.
It's time now. We're very excited.
Fun announcements. Yes, yeah, some changes. New month, new
programs. New quarter, actually. Yep. And so for those of you who might not be familiar with radio, things a lot of times go in quarters. So Q1, we're into Q2 now. And so we're excited to be able to announce and debut here the Polka Power Hour. And this is an effort because, again, when we say we are family, we want to really be able to embrace all families and all cultures, all backgrounds. And the diversity of our audience here in Wisconsin is so intrinsically tied in with polka music that we are just pleased and blessed here at WWIB to be able to introduce the Polka Power Hour. It's an all-request hour every single weekday from 9 to 10 a.m., and we're starting it right now. So,
right. This is we offer bread and wine. This is Father Frank Perkovic. And
call
Joe
your requests.
Check.
Yeah, 723-2555. Michelle, taking your requests all hour.
Church every year at Oktoberfest.
The Polka Power Hour.
Yeah,
I have honestly been campaigning for this for such a long time, and I am beyond blessed to be able to introduce this.
I have to say, I've usually stood against you in those meetings since I returned in Liberia as you've
been
lobbying.
That's honestly been
a
source of conflict between us, and
we've had to
go to a mediator. And
I know. Michelle.
Here's the host.
Father Frank has so many offerings for you. He's the guy that does the, this is We Offer Bread and Wine by
Middays
Father
with Michelle, host of the Polka Power Hour.
Okay, the phones are not ringing. Did you notice the phones are not ringing?
I'm very
by
sad.
All
we
means,
need
do
your
not
requests.
Play the chicken dance. Do not
no,
play
it's,
that one.
It's, I,
oh, we, no, the phone's ringing.
Yeah.
We're going to get requests. Now, pay no attention to what day this is. Just keep those requests going.
Michelle is happy to play whatever you need to hear this morning.
The best part is she was as surprised as everybody else. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.